So praise God. How many were not here last week? I think most people were here, but I'm just going to do a real quick review. We discussed anointing, mentioned that Christ is the Greek word translated, the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, and it means the anointed one or the anointing, depending on the reference is used in. And I said, you can never separate Jesus. He is the anointed one, and he's anointed, so you can never really separate it. But I do use the example in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I believe that's literally saying I can do all things through the anointing, which strengthens me. And the Amplified, I went on to say, it talks about the anointing, which infuses inner strength into you. That's something I can personally hook into. And of course, it's the anointed one, and it's his anointing. I'm not going to get into all that again. We talked about deciding whether it's talking about Jesus or the power itself. We talked about Isaiah 10:27, the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And we talked about what the anointing does. And I want to spend a little bit of time on that in Matthew 11, and you don't have to turn there, but talking about the works of Christ. When John had heard in prison the works of Christ, or the works of the anointed one, the works of the anointing, this is what I want to know. What is this anointing doing? When that anointing, so to speak, hit me on the soccer field, we were pretty, I wouldn't say we're invincible, but we had a defense that was hard to beat. And I could literally, and I wasn't even born again then. I didn't know anything about the word of faith, but just equating it, something came over me. It's like a mantle fell on me, and I ruled that box, that goalie box. Don't come in my box. I hurt people, and I didn't mean to, but I ran over people. And there was an anointing, and I was voted most valuable player my senior year, so praise God for that. He was helping me. I didn't even know him. So the works of Christ, this is what I want to know in my life, in my work, in my occupation, in the ministry. And we're all called to ministry, whether it's the ministry of reconciliation or the fivefold ministry. What does the anointing do? And as you can probably tell, it has kicked in now. The anointing, the works of Christ, the works of the anointing, John said, he sent these people and said, he sent his two disciples and said, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. That's the works of the anointed one, his anointing. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor of the gospel preach to them. So that is the works of Christ, the works of the anointing. And we're hearing of these things throughout the earth nowadays. You won't hear it on Fox or CBN or not CBN, the other one, CNN, whatever they are. You won't hear on the network news. Although you're starting to hear some things about the power of God. They don't acknowledge it altogether, but you if you listen to other sources of media, you will hear about it. And we heard it again just recently about Jesus appearing to Muslims, including ISIS members that have left and turned to him. And this was prophesied in the 90s, I think. I heard Kenneth Copeland prophesy about this, and even before that, and others. So it is happening. And I said in last week and this week, watch for the Christ, the anointing, Spirit of God, glory of God, connection. We discussed the glory, and I mentioned three major characteristics. It's not all-inclusive, but it's a good working knowledge to get us started. The glory of God is the manifested presence of God, the manifested power of God, and the manifested goodness of God. If you study it out in the Old Testament, Exodus in different areas, you can put that together. And we talked about Acts 10:38, how God anointed, so there's an anointing glory connection here, because every part of that glory is in this verse, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So there's the power of God expressing the glory, who went about doing good. There's the goodness of God. He didn't go about putting, you did that last night, so I'm putting cancer on you. No, he never did that. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There's a connection that healing, the sickness and the devil are connected. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's the presence of God with him. So the anointing, glory, connection. We are in him. The anointed one is who he is. His anointing is the power, you could say. I'm going to turn to Joel. Oh, there it is. Joel 2:23. You don't have to turn there, but we talked about the former and the latter rain. Be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, the first month. And last night I was in James a lot. We're going to end up today in James. We're going to end up there today in James. James 5:7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, and in John 15, the husband is the father, waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. And it was talked about the early and latter rain coming together in a glory storm in the days we're in, and it has begun. And we said that the earlier former rain began in Acts chapter 2 with the outpouring of the Spirit. It said that the latter rain outpouring began in this hemisphere with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Topeka, Kansas on January 1, 1901. I read excerpts from that, but if you weren't here, you can get that. Supernatural. They were seeking God, knowing that there was something about this Holy Spirit baptism, and they wanted it, and he provided. So, and we said, and this thrills me, the former rain in the book of Joel says given moderately. So if that was given moderately, then you had Azusa Street, the latter rain, and the latter rain outpouring here in the early 1900s. What are we in for with the combination of them both? Things that have never been seen on this planet. Sometimes you got to sit down and just think about that. Sometimes I think about, I won't say it, but think about wild things. I mean, that just think, how could that happen? Well, you watch, maybe it, not me, you know, what's coming about here is beyond what this planet has ever seen. And that's thrilling. And we talked about this is not all up to God. Well, if he wants to have me do something, he'll nudge me along. When I was young, helping out on the farm, the cattle guy came and loading cattle. And Ryan, do they still make those shock sticks? I remember as a kid, I thought maybe they were inhumane now, and they wouldn't let them. But prodding cattle, and sometimes I'd see a spark fly, and I realized he had this thing that I'm not sure how it worked. But anyway, moving cattle. We don't want to be like that. It's not all up to God for him to just prod us along. Now, Jesus is the head of the church, and he's going to motivate us. I've had him thrust me places where I didn't really want to be at the time, and then I realized what he was doing. But, we need to press into this. Like Pastor said, the violent take it by force. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You got to get some guts. You got to, when I'm on that soccer field, there's a place there where the goalie can use his hands. Don't come in my box if you don't want to get hurt. There was one time, I shouldn't get off on this, but I'm just going to tell you. There's one time this guy broke away. Nothing between me and him. He got by all the defense except for me. So what you do then, at least in those days I was trained, you go after, you go out, cut the angle down for the net. I went out there. He looked at me I just dove right on his foot, took the ball right off his foot. And, of course, the crowd's cheering, and I'm thinking, wow, that's something. You got to have some aggressiveness. You could have been like a passive goalie, which you had never started, and you just sit there. Oh man, that guy's coming here. What now? I'm gonna go behind the net. That's not what we're gonna do as the body of Christ. We're supposed to be aggressive. Now, not some ignoramus that just does things without thinking. You're led by the Spirit in your aggressiveness in the kingdom of God. And I read the Spirit of Seeing and the Spirit of Knowing prophecy from 1997, Brother Hagin. And turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're gonna pick up there. And I'm gonna reference some of Brother Hagin's prophecy again as we go along here, but I'll pull out certain pieces of it. But we did read it all, and you should look at it all in place. But Ephesians chapter 1, we started out with the prayer that Paul prayed, and we can be praying that for ourselves, we said. We should be. That verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, spirit of seeing, spirit of knowing, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We talked about the Amplified says flooded with light, that you might know some things, that you might know. And the first thing we talked about was the hope of his calling. And I mentioned that, and again, you don't have to turn here, I'm just going to briefly go over this, in Colossians 1. I always think of this, there's probably other things in this. I'm constantly believing for more in this verse, more revelation of it, and God's faithful. There's one piece of it that I may get it today, but there's one piece I'm just pressing in for more revelation on it. But, you know, the hope of his calling. In Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which he has hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, made seen, made manifest, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Translate, meditate. What's he saying here? Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing in you. Your hope, Bible hope, is an earnest expectation of good. Christ, the anointing in you, your earnest expectation of the glory of God. Christ, the anointed one, his anointing in you, your earnest expectation of the manifested presence of God in your life, of the manifested goodness of God in your life, of the manifested power of God in your life. That'll change your day. That'll change your year. That'll change your decade. That'll change you from now until the catching away of the church. So you see what I do. You hook up things. You meditate. And as you know, spend a little time meditating, he'll start hooking these things up and dealing with you. The Amplified talks about insights into mysteries and secrets, into the deep, intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so you can know and understand. And we use the scripture in Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ, excuse me, the anointed one, and his anointing will give you light. So when you're operating the anointing of Jesus, there's light. You know, you keep pressing in, there's light comes. And when there's light, you can see which way you're going. So does God want us to know things? He said in Ephesians 1:18 that we might know. Yes, absolutely. Yes, he wants us to know these things. There's three things in here. The hope of his calling, number one. Now we're going to press into some new material here. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So this is tied to glory. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That word inheritance is like heirship, the Strong's word heirship. And we're to be glorious for him. In John 17:20 and 22, Jesus was praying. And you think Jesus ever prayed that he did not get answers? I don't think so. He was praying, and he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. So he was praying for us, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And this is what I'm getting at. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So this coming together as the body of Christ has to do with the glory. But Jesus prayed and said to the Father, the glory which you gave me, and he talked about that earlier in John 17, the glory which you gave me, I have given them. So receive that by faith. Jesus, there's glory to be had of Jesus. Now, we don't walk in our own glory. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the glory, the manifested power of God, the power that the fire came down Azusa Street and healed people. The maimed were healed. Just phenomenal things. That's what I'm talking about. The glory that was in Jesus' ministry, he has given that to us. And then the third thing in Ephesians 1:18, actually 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, or the King James says, or toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought, which means which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. God wants us to know this resurrection power. He wants us to know this power that he exemplified in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, Romans 6:4 says Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So here's a connection, the glory connection, and a connection which brings it into our place here. Well, let me read Weymouth to you. Weymouth says, the New Translation of the New Testament says, and what the transcendent greatness of his power in us believers, as seen in the working of his infinite might when he displayed it in Christ by raising him from the dead. He said he wants us to know this, that we might know what is this exceeding greatness of his power. He wants us to know the resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So he wants us to know the glory, because the glory of God raised Christ from the dead. Romans 8, 11 says, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken or will make life in your mortal body. So the Spirit of God is the glory of God. The glory of God raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And that Spirit of God is making, this is tying it to our realm. That Spirit of God is making life in your mortal body. It says, by his Spirit that dwells in you. And last year in a ministry, I talked about this, where I talked about in Ephesians and different places about the Spirit of God is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. I mentioned that earnest money is like a deposit money that you put down, say you're buying a property. And I mentioned that, you know, you don't, if you're buying a multi-million dollar property, you don't put $100 earnest money down. Or if the buyer accepts that, they're nuts. So the redemption of our body is quite valuable. So that our earnest, our knowing that this God is serious about raising us, giving us the glorified body, our earnest is the Holy Ghost. Are you with me here? So if we have this earnest of the Holy Ghost, who is making sure that we get our glorified body, I can depend on him to quicken my mortal body while I'm here on earth. Pastor says this is the divine health scripture, and that's the truth. I mean, we got it made in this thing, but he wants us to know this resurrection power that is at work. And he wants us to know it for us, for our knowledge and for our use. And I'm going to flip over to, I'm flipping over to 2 Corinthians 4 for a minute. So if you got a couple of fingers, you can stick them in there and hold your place, or just flip back and forth. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, well, I'm going to break in at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, of whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So there's no light there. If they're blinded, they're in darkness. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, of the gospel of the anointed one, his anointing, who would give light, lest that light, who is the image of God, should shine upon them, unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and they're talking about creation here, that's Jesus. I think about the power in creation. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that was a big deal, creation. I mean, that took some power. That God has shined in our hearts. So, I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm so bad, he couldn't have shined in my heart. No, if he can do creation, making light to shine out of darkness, he can shine in my heart. I just say, Lord, you did it, I'm taking it. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He didn't just give the light of the glory of God. He says, and this has to do with what he wants us to know. In these times, he wants us to know things, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the light, in the face of Jesus Christ. So, I mean, there's knowledge to be had of the glory. And I'm sure that, you know, we talked about what I call the fat, dumb, and happy types. that just born again, they don't have a clue what's going on, and they're in the way, they're just, you know, and they'll hopefully get raptured. But I'm just saying, God, that's an extreme example. What I'm saying is God wants us to enjoy the trip. He wants to have knowledge of what's going on. First of all, he needs us to have knowledge of the glory, knowledge of his presence, knowledge of his goodness, knowledge of his power, resurrection power. He needs us to have that so he can use us in these last days in where we're going and what we're doing right now and in the future. And he does want us to enjoy the trip. I mean, God is a fun God. You know, he's not just with a swatter there just waiting for you to get out of line. No, he's keeping you in line. Now, you know, people get out from under the umbrella of the protection, and they can get swatted, not by God, by the devil. And there is a judgment is harvest of what you've sown. And Randall Greer, I don't know how many you get of his publication. He had a good article. I just skimmed it because I didn't have a lot of time, but he talked about Brother Hagin, you know, people saying, oh, the devil's taken over, the devil's taken over. Brother Hagin said, no, he's not taking over me. He'd have to, I'm still here. Well, I'm here. He's not taking over me. And that's right. We should have that attitude. And, you know, we don't, it talks in the article, you don't look at how bad things look in the natural, the Supreme Court, the presidency, this, that, and everything else. You look that we already have the victory. You have to know that. And I'm telling you, when you're in there in the fight, so to speak, we have the victory. The battle's won. But I know from experience, and you know it too, if I don't have my daily dose, more than a dose, after a while you can start wondering, my God, what's going on? But you got to stay maintained in faith. You got to walk in the Word and keep faith coming, like Darlene was saying, faith comes by hearing. Realize who we are in Christ and keep yourself built up, because then you realize this is nothing. The Supreme Court does not have the authority to curse me. I'm the blessed. Yeah, I mean, maybe there's things open up in this country, but this country is into a new rebirth. This country is not going down. I don't care what they've done. They can't take it down. We're the righteous in this country and in this earth. The devil's not taking over. He's not doing it. So, but like I said, we need to be praying. Last week I said, pray over the Iranian deal. We can change things. You know, I don't want our country to be a goat nation. So maintain your prayer on that. So he wants to have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And it says after that, in the next verse, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we don't get big-headed, like, man, the glory of God's on me, the anointing's on me, man, look at me. No. No, this is for the ministry, this is for the body of Christ. And it's to enjoy, sure. I enjoy it when I get an answer. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, on the job. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, probably, I didn't look it up, but it's probably the word dunamis, may be of God and not of us. This is what thrills me so much about 2 Corinthians 12:9. It's one of my favorite verses. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to have fun with it a moment. And 12:9 says, and he said unto me, and he actually said unto me this a couple years ago. I didn't see Jesus. I heard him. I don't know if it was audible. I don't know if you'd have heard it, but I heard it. It's like in the nighttime, he said, Michael, my grace, and he said, my willingness to use my power and my ability on your behalf is sufficient. That's a Charles Capps definition. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, my dunamis is made perfect in weakness. And I always go here from this point and say, most glad are therefore, Lord, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And that part of the translation that I glory in my inability to produce results. What am I going to do? Like, stand here and until I can get enough money to pay the bills? No, I glory in my inability to produce results, that the power of Christ, that the power of the anointing may rest upon me. We need to flow in an anointing that the world has not seen. We need to flow in an anointing to lay hands on people that the world has never seen that level of anointing yet. And it's coming. It's happening. This thing is intensifying. And you know, it's the river's rising. So just be aware of that and be in the flow of it. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 1. He wants us to know these things. And I don't want to rush. So I take a deep breath. And verse 20 then, after he says he wants, well, the resurrection power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, or in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name its name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, that's us, gave him to be the head of all things to us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I got a question for you. You probably heard this. We're the body of Christ. Are the feet in the body? Feet are part of the body. So these things, these powers, principalities, we've been placed far above that, seated together with Christ in heavenly places. In case you're wondering, how do we get there? Ephesians 2, 6 says, He has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in the anointed Jesus and in His anointing. So, we are seated up there. We have the authority. This is where we pray from. This is where we pray, first of all, for all presidents and kings and those in authority, from that position of authority. This is where we pray over our spouses and our families and the ministries and the church. And this is where we pray from, not like some worm in the dust. Well, maybe He'd hear me today. You know, God, I mean, no. This is, we pray from that position of authority. God is thrilled when we take our authority because He delegated the authority in the earth to us. This is my, you know, my pet peeve. God is in control. Yeah, He's in control in heaven. He delegated the control, the authority in the earth to the church. Now, God is in control of the big scheme of things. The book of Revelation talks about what's coming. And there's going to be a plan of God fulfilled whether you do your part or not, because He'll get somebody else. But this idea, what did somebody say to you the other day? Well, I wanted Darlene to agree with her. Well, we just got to do this. Some thing that they probably wouldn't have had to do, you know. But as you know too, God's in control. Well, silence. You know, in some positions you can't, well, you know, you just don't buy into that. So you take your authority. You walk in that, not as worms. You realize who we are in Christ. You know, if they came into my box as a goalie, look out. And you know what a corner kick is? They're kicking in from the corner. Many people felt my nudge as I went up for the ball. And I didn't try to play dirty, but you know, when you're focused on getting that ball and getting it away, clearing it, you're not focused whether you run over anybody or not. Some years later, this girl that played with Bethany on the Messiah soccer team, her dad, he said, oh, yeah, I played for Elko. We played you down at the Reading Stadium. You were the goalie. Man, you hit me. I said, sorry about that. He said, I was going for a ball to punch it, and I must have got him first. But what I'm not trying to glorify me. I'm just saying, you got to be aggressive. Pray from that position of authority. You know, the devil has nothing on you. You know, you take authority over your day. You take authority over the situations and press in. Now, another witness of the resurrection power, turn to Philippians chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul's talking here, and I'm going to break in verse 3. He's talking about all his accolades. I mean, Paul was something in the religious world. He was, getting my pages lined up here. Okay, verse 3, okay, yeah. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, we have this treasure, like, talking about the glory as a treasure in earthen vessels. We have no confidence in the flesh, that I might also have, confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, Paul said, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. That was big stuff. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless, knowing how to be righteous in the law, blameless. This is what he's saying. But what things were gained to me? All those things of the flesh and education and all that, those I kind of lost for Christ. Translate and meditate. Those I kind of lost for the anointed one, his anointing. I know he's talking about the anointing also. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge, again, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, manure, that I may win Christ, win the anointed one, win the anointing. See, we don't glory in our ability to produce results. We glory in His ability. And that means we can go way beyond where we think because it is in His ability. So that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of a law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, we're righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Next verse is where I want to get here, that I may know him, that I may know Christ, him, and the power of his resurrection. Another witness here. We are to know him and the power of his resurrection. And we're going to know. We will see these things. We're seeing them now. The Amplified, I really like it, says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him. Now let's go on here. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So what does that mean? You know, the fellowship of his sufferings, these are things that you got to be careful with. You don't want to suffer cancer because, you know, I'm suffering cancer for Jesus. No, that's not what it means. Our suffering is resisting the things that he bought and paid for us. 1 Peter talks about resisting. And then it talks, the next verse down in 9 and 10, I believe it is, it talks about after you have suffered a little while, we're to resist the things that that would try to curse, that he paid the price for, the redemptive ticket. So we don't, anything he bore on the cross, we resist. That's what I'm trying to say. Anything his death, burial, and resurrection, he bore it. We resist cancer. We resist sickness, disease. We don't fellowship with him in suffering cancer. We don't fellowship with him in suffering sickness and disease. That would be a slap in the face of Jesus and the Father, because he's already bought it. You know, if John paid for my lunch, and I go in there and the you know, he says, go up to Longhorn and tell them, you know, they know that I already paid. Thanks, John. And then I go in there. We go in there and then we get seated and they say, well, no, you got to pay your bill. No, it's already paid. It's already paid and I want it. It's bought and paid for. I resist your telling me that I got to pay. So Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I'm not going to suffer in fellowship with Jesus for any kind of sickness and disease. That's not. I resist that. And we don't fellowship with him suffering in poverty and lack. That, again, would be a slap in his face. Because I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake, I'm doing this the way I confess it first person, that for my sake he became poor, and through his poverty I've been made rich, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. So, you know, you got to know the word. You got to stand up against it. Again, take your authority from that position of authority where you've been seated. You know, Jesus bore the curse for us, and his suffering and death on the cross, that those things we're to resist. And, you know, how many know, like Pastor talks about that morning, he woke up feeling really bad. And Lord devil him about, you know, if you're healed, heal men, go to work. So he's on his way. And by the time he gets there, I mean, that wasn't fun. Remember, he talks about that a lot. That wasn't fun. You know, you can picture that in your own life. Oh, man, you resist that. You resist that. And the result was he learned how to act on the word. And that works in every realm of life, as he's saying, working for him and finding it, working for us in every realm of life. You act like it's true, and it is true, and you get the result. But, you know, you're not fellowshipping with Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we're so sick today. No. He might slap you then. No, I don't think he would. So we're not going to be passive and cower back and say, oh, no, the devil's stirring up trouble. Supreme Court, oh, my gosh. The president, oh, my gosh. Let's just hide. Maybe the devil won't come our way. You know, we'll cower back here. If you're cowering back, you're a very good candidate to get run over and be a target of the devil. You got to stand up. You know, if I'd have been sitting in the goal just kind of ho-humming around there, and they get your number. I don't know. God's given me these examples in soccer, but one of the big games with Elko at their field, and I had a really bad ankle. It was taped to the max. They'd use a roll of tape on me. My wrists were taped to keep from snapping back. But the coach said to me, man, you're hurting. But when you're warming up, you know, I'd kick up to about half field, you know, as a goalie. He said, when you're warming up, don't show any hurt. In other words, don't let the devil see you sweat. He said, give it all you got so they don't know. And I did, and it hurt, but I'm glad he told me that, because that paid off. You don't let the devil see you sweat. You take your authority in that victory position, see it together with him, realizing you have the victory. Don't let him take it from you. So he has no authority. He's been defeated. If you know that, you take your place. So, yeah, we want to. There's another point I wanted to make here about passivity and cowering back. Don't do it. You know, it talks in 1 Peter 5 about the devil as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. If you're going to cower back and be passive, you're going to get devoured. You're the target, you know. But, you know, you don't have to let him devour you. In fact, it says, it doesn't say he's a lion. It says he walks about as a roaring lion. And I tell him that a lot. You're not a roaring lion. You walk about as a roaring lion. You know, he's not the big deal, the big noise he acts like. So that's where you operate in your strength. Now, I want to get into pulling some things out of Brother Hagin's prophecy, and I take this as a word of the Lord, and I can act on it. Pastor talks about that. You know what I'm talking about. The spirit of seeing and knowing prophecy from February of 1997, Winter Bible Seminar. He said, speaking by the Spirit, and I'm not reading it all, but I want to get a couple points across. Speaking by the Spirit, not just speaking words out of your own mind or thinking, but speaking by the Spirit. And most of you know this, but I want to reemphasize, man is a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, intellect, and we live in a body. The body is the earth suit that we need to live here in this earth. Gives us authority in this earth. Once your body is laid down in the grave and you go on, you don't have authority in the earth here. That's why Jesus delegated authority to us. He needs the body of Christ operating. We are Christ in the earth. We are the anointed ones. We are in the earth. He needs us in that. So we have this earth suit. But a side note here, the soul, which is hooked to the spirit, says in Hebrews you can separate them kind of for study, but they are together, but they're two distinct things. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion, that's where your memory is. Lazarus and the rich man, the beggar named Lazarus, the rich man died and was in hell, and he said, oh, Abraham, send somebody to dip my water on my tongue and so forth. It's in Luke 16. I'm not going to turn there, but Abraham said, remember. He told that guy, remember. So your memory is not in your physical organ of the brain. It's in your soul. So, you know, he went to hell. His spirit and soul, so to speak, he was tormented. A mental thing. He was in hell, in that region of the damned. But Abraham telling him to remember, and it went on in the passage, you could tell that he was remembering things about his brother, his family, you know, ghosts send somebody to them. He had memory. So that memory is in the soul, not in the brain. So, you know, there is absolutely, as Pastor talks about too, others talk about it, there is absolutely no reason for memory loss. I'm telling you what, my memory is getting better every day. Now, I do operate in pretty much total recall in the Holy Ghost. But, you know, if I'm paying attention to you, if you're talking to me and I'm just not listening, I don't know what you said or anybody. But, and I'm not talking about you in general, but, you know, you ever been in a conversation, bunch of people talking, and you're just, But if I'm listening, I got it. So spirit, soul, and body, we need to know that. But it said about speaking by the Spirit, words that are inspired by the Spirit of God, words that well up within you, out of your spirit, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Those words spoken boldly bring forth great happenings, speaking by the Spirit, and so the glory of God shall come into manifestation. These things that we all want to see, we hunger for, that the world doesn't know about, but they like to know about, and when they see it, they are going to be coming in. That's why I asked Lozer the other week, where can we park all kind of cars because we don't have enough space out here? You know, you got to start thinking ahead, thinking of vision, just dreaming big, because this is going to be bigger than we've ever seen, bigger than anybody's ever seen on this planet. How long it's going to last, I don't know. There's all kind of prophecies about, you know, it's going to be a short time when this thing hits before the church is raptured out of here. I don't know what a short time is, but Azusa Street, I think, was about, don't quote, I think 3 years and something in that realm, maybe 3 to 6, but things are happening. And we are moving into a Shemitah, the end of a Shemitah year, rather, September 13th, beginning another cycle. So, Selah, pause and think on that. So the glory of God shall come into manifestation. And then further on in the prophecy, it says, and you speak out what he says, not what you think, not what you think in the flesh, not even what your head's saying. Speak out what he wants. And so the spirit of seeing, the spirit of knowing into greater manifestation shall come. Men, women, speaking by the spirit, by prophecy, inspired utterance, tongues, interpretations, shall bring forth marvelous statements and bring to pass and bring into being with those statements in the sense realm where men can see and know the operation of the Spirit of God and the manifestation of the Spirit of God and demonstration of the Spirit of God. So, in other words, what the Lord is witnessing to me out of this, particularly today, is speaking by the Spirit brings manifestation of the glory of God, utterance out of the Spirit. I don't want to stand up. If I had stood up here and just talked out of my head, I'd have been home before you. I mean, I'm not interested in that. If there's no anointing, I'm not interested. And I want to read to you. I believe I'm going to take the time for this. This is a prophecy for 2015. A prophetic word received by Jerry Savelle. 2015, the year of visitations, manifestations, and demonstrations. And I'll tell you, this just, if I could get under this and meditate this a while in the morning, man, it just gets you pacing the floor. I guess you see I walk a lot. Experiencing the greater glory is still my plan, and you'll see the great I Am shall visit your land. There's visitations. Your land, where do you live? I'm talking about, I always pray this, yeah, you're visiting our land, the United States of America. You're visiting Pennsylvania. You're visiting, we live in Berks County. You're visiting our township, and you're visiting our road, our corridor here. You're visiting our properties here, here, here. You're visiting our land. Manifestations of my spirit as never before, and demonstrations of my power from shore to shore. Supernatural provision and greater breakthroughs too. I mentioned this, and this is me talking. I mentioned this last week, and I just don't like talking about me, but I said something about our net worth has really increased. And I meant, and I got the frown from Darlene. I'm not bragging on anything like that. I'm just saying we've seen increase. You've seen increase. What I'm getting at, though, I am hungry for supernatural provision. And I've seen it, don't get me wrong. Pastor's seen it. But man, this is big. And this is where we want to have a meeting. It's going to cost $10,000 here. Well, Lord, can I do it all? We want to be able to jump into this. We want to do things as in other words, I'm not minimizing over the years. We own a lot of real estate. Things have gone up. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying God's really blessed us. It's good. It's great. But supernatural provision, when I hear this, it turns me, using that term again, turns me on even greater. Supernatural provision, the human spirit and spirit of God within us hungers for supernatural. That's where we're supposed to live. That's this whole message, knowing the resurrection power. Supernatural provision and greater breakthroughs too. Yes, this is my plan and my will for you. The powers of darkness will no longer stand, for I will show them the strength of my right hand. And I'll have my way and all shall see. No power is greater nor equal to me. My people will rise up and take their place, and no enemy will stop them from finishing their race. And this is where I got this in the offering one time. I was meditating on this, and I was over in Hebrews 12 then, about seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which would so easily beset, and let us run with steadfastness, patience, endurance, the race that is set before us. The Amplified says, the appointed course of the race. And this came up in my spirit. I think I mentioned it. I know I mentioned it. We are the finishers in the relay race, the one passing the baton. It's passed, and we're the one. The fastest people are at the end. We are them. We're finishing. This is our course. My people rise up and take their place. No enemy will stop them from finishing their race. Yes, 2015, you'll surely see, will be a year that will go down in history. So lift up your hands and boldly decree something great is about to happen to me. This is, I mean, some people could take that and say, well, that's nice, but I'm feeding on this and I'm seeing it happening, and you can get excited. I don't like being bored. And you know, God is not a boring person. Now, we talked about speaking by the Spirit. Things coming to pass. Speaking what you hear from the Spirit. Don't turn. I'm going to read it to you. You can turn if you want. But John 5:19, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise." Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. I saw the altar call, so to speak, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I saw that before the service. I saw it the night before, I believe. And some other things I saw, but you know, it's like I saw my Father show me this. I saw the Spirit of God show me this. Jesus in John 14:10 said, "Believe thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." He didn't speak on his own. The Bible talks about idle words, that we'll be judged for idle words. And now we have conversation, and I'm not saying every word out of your mouth has to be led by the Spirit, but Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work." In other words, he's saying he spoke what he heard the Father say, not his own words. Then the Father did what he spoke. The Lord showed him what to say in a situation. Now, I'm going to slow down here. If I don't get all the way where I think I should get, but I need to make these points and not rush through. Think about, and I heard this example used, and I can't improve on it, so I'm going to use this exact same example that this minister used. And turn to John 16 while I'm talking here. Just remember that concept. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. And Jesus basically, he only said what he heard the Father say, and then he said it, and the Father did it. The Father in me, he does the works. So in this example, this minister talked about, picture yourself in front of this gorgeous, gigantic, beautiful building, like nothing you've ever seen, beyond description, and you know that inside this building is a supercomputer that has the capacity to hold every thought of every person that was ever born or ever to be born, that God has held in reserve, of what they should be speaking in their life. You know this computer has that in there, and you know it, and you're looking at this thing, and it's glorious, and you're thinking, wow. You know, from before the foundation of the world, this thing holds everything. And you're out there like, golly, Gomer Pyle, you know. And I can relate. When I started college at Penn State, 1970, summer term, I lived in East Halls, and just over there near the pool, in the auditorium, there was a computer building. I don't know if it's still there, used for that. But this thing was a big building. I don't know, maybe bigger than this. And it housed computers. And you know, I could go in there because they had a tasty cake machine, and I'd go over there and take snacks and that, and sit in the wall and think. But you'd get in the lobby, but you couldn't get in. They had glass there, and you could see these lights blinking and all this going on. And I'm thinking, probably our laptop now does more than what that whole building did then. This was probably days of punch cards, you know, and all that. But I'd think, man, look at this building. So you're there, you're looking at this building, and it has the plan of God in there for every person ever been born. I was thinking about this last night, and I almost tilted and fell over. I think sometimes your mind goes tilt, and it's almost like, whoa. And it's almost like a, I don't want to say a scare thing, but it's like you can't comprehend your mind, but your spirit can. So you get back in the spirit, and everything's all right. So it's beyond what you can ask or think. In this building you're seeing here, you're standing there looking like this, man, that's my answer. So you're standing there knowing what's inside, trying to get figure it out. And somebody walks up to you and says, "Can I help you?" And you look and you say, "Yeah, man, in that, I'm just thinking about all the things I have before the Lord, the answers I need, and what I should do about this, and how I can get in there." And he says, "Like I said, may I help you? I built that building. I put the computer in there. I programmed it. Can I help you?" Now look at John 16. I just wanted to get that out there and jog your thinking on this. We have got it made, folks. We're not living the Old Testament. We got the Spirit of God living inside of us. In 16:13, he said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." Did he come? Yeah, he invaded this planet the day of Pentecost. and he's going to be here for the duration. You know, people are going to get born again in the tribulation. That tells me the Holy Ghost is here. So what's holding back is the church. When we leave, then the thing gets real bad. So but don't worry, don't pay the Holy Ghost. He can handle himself. So he's here right now. It says he will guide. He will guide you into all truth. I've been in situations on writing my demo for the designations. I've been in testing situations where I got to know answers on comprehensive exams, 2 days of exams back to back. Lord, and I learned this from Keith Moore, what's the truth about this? In other words, what's the right answer? If I'm stumped on something, I'd go inside, I'm praying to the Holy Ghost. You know the answer. Get it up out of you. Because get your tongue hooked to your spirit and your brain will get hooked up too. And you'll know. Now, not if you don't ever study. You know, if you're doing something that few people in the country have done, and you're just going to go in there and think, well, I'll just wing it, you know. No, then that's different. You know what I'm saying. But he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He shall not speak of himself. Jesus said, the words that I speak are not my own. So the Holy Ghost is not speaking of himself. Get that point. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Jesus said, in essence, what I hear my Father say, I say. The Holy Ghost inside of us is not speaking of himself. But whatever he hears, that he speaks. Jesus is directing the body of Christ. Directing the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is speaking to us. Do you see the pattern here? This is a model of how to operate in this earth. And this is why it's so important. Like Brother Hagin prophesied. I am so thrilled. And then this Kansas prophecy hooking into that. The Spirit of God has built this thing. Well, we talked about 1901, January 1, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Pope in Rome praying for that. And here in Topeka, and this thing happened. The Holy Ghost coordinating this. And all this happening and flowing, and man, we are in a time, and it's just adventures in faith. It's exciting. So don't be bored. You know, you get to the point where you're so excited about things, you're constantly looking. I do relax. I do sit down sometimes, but you're constantly looking at God and in his amazement. And he's always on. So the Holy Ghost, whatever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Let me get it here in my notes. I think Weymouth says he will show you the future, which is what it means. Somewhere there. But Jesus didn't speak of himself. It says that in verse 15 or 14, he shall glorify me. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit of truth has come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. The head of the church now, he's saying it. The Holy Ghost will receive of mine, of me, and show it to you. How can you lose if we just listen and then do what we know to do? And I know it's sometimes easier said than done, but I'll get to that in just a minute, Lord. Yeah. So, and all things, verse 15, that the Father has are mine. So, here's the head of the church with access to everything the Father God has. And he will... the Holy Ghost will receive of Jesus, who has access to everything the Father has, and show it to you. Show it to you and me and us. I mean, does this do you the way it does me? And he'll show it to you. He had to say this twice. All things that the Father has. There's no such thing as all things except something. All things is all things. So we have access to anything we need in our lives as far as answers. Did Jesus have access on earth when he was here on earth to everything? He said, I could have called for a legion of angels to get me out of here. Thank God he didn't. He had access. He could have done it. And we'd all gone to hell. But he stayed the course. He paid the price. But he had access to everything. You know, you can squeeze this in meditation. And like I said, just dream big. Don't go flaky, but dream big. You know, God has big plans for the church. I mean, there's billions of people out there still don't know him. And he's got big plans, so we can dream big. And you say, well, yeah, I know, you dream big, but I got to go to work tomorrow, and I got this problem, and I got to deal with this, and I got that. I know. But this is what will make it easier and make it better and solve your problem. Now, I got to interject here, you know, Jesus did all the work. He did all the hard part. In fact, it's about getting saved, you know. All we got to do is pray the prayer, accept him, confess him as Lord, believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You know, the shortest salvation prayer on record was the Apostle Paul. He said, Lord. And at that point, he believed that he was raised from the dead. He saw him. And he later on went on to write about believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess him as Lord. Well, he confessed him as Lord. So, but, you know, God is not going to make the choice for us. We have to ask. And then same way with the Holy Ghost and the wisdom of God. We'll get into James in a minute. In fact, you can turn to James chapter 1. We're going to go there. But we need to ask for the wisdom. He'll not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. And he's speaking all the time. He's directing the body of Christ through the Spirit of God in the earth all the time, all the time. Jesus doesn't have a day off where he's saying, well, Gabriel, you know, you fill in for me, and if anything comes up, text me. You know, Jesus is, well, there's no time or distance in the Spirit. You can depend on an answer all the time. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost doing their part all the time. They're not going to let us down. They are there on behalf of us all the time. Therefore, he's speaking all the time. You know, I don't have to think that my problem is so big that we got to go into a conference. We'll get back to you on that one. No. But you know what? And this brings it to a point. It's high time we start cleaning up the house, housekeeping, getting our spiritual lives in order. And this is not scolding. This is just encouraging me too. As much time as I spend, whatever that is, more or less, I can do more. And I'm not talking about works, but I'm just talking about the thrillingness of, I'd rather, at times I think I want to read this, finish this book I'm reading on, I don't know what the last book I read, but anyways, you know, I might read about Zamperini, the guy on this, yeah, I told about that. Yeah, but anyways, I don't read junk, but I like historical things. I have the book about the lone survivor, that sort of thing. I didn't read that yet. And I think some nights I want to start this, I'm going to get to that. But then I get over in here, and I start reading in the epistles. And it's like it's better than a movie. It's better than TV. And then I get at that point, I'm kind of ready to go to sleep, and so the other book has to wait. I do read other things, but I'm just saying, this is exciting, but it's time. You know, the government and all the things pertaining to government, they've crossed lines, and they're crossing lines that never before were crossed. There's things happening. We'd have never thought, you know, crucifixion and beheading, they're crossing these lines. You know, murdering babies, the Planned Parenthood thing, all this junk going on. We're no longer in this wave up and wave down. You know, it's good cycle and bad cycle. No, we're in the end time. Men are waxing worse and worse. And I'm talking about the world now. For us, it's going to be better and better if we walk by faith. The world is not going to get any better. I don't care what they say, oh, the market's going to go here. The world's not going to get any better. The market may go there, but it's still going to be bad for them. And the market may not go there. The market may correct in many ways. So the situation in the world is not going to get any better, but we have to take the time to hear from heaven. My word, we've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the Father's, everything the Father has. Jesus has access to it. Jesus is downloading, so to speak, to the Holy Ghost, who downloads to us, so to speak. I'm not minimizing, but think of that in that terms. That's what's happening. And look at technology 200 years ago. Look at, you know, we can't get by with an answer every now and then anymore. Technology 200 years ago, not much was changing. But then all of a sudden, it started changing and changing and changing. And now, knowledge is increasing. Daniel, the book of Daniel said that. Travel will abound. Knowledge will increase in these days. People can't even keep up. So we cannot afford to be laying around getting an answer here and there, because the devil's working full time. It says his time is short. He's going to be really pressing in these days. So we need to get on the stick It's available to us, and God's encouraging us. I'm not scolding anybody. It's not my place to, and I'm not going to. But, you know, a word to the wise. This should be an encouragement. There's life to be had. You know, so we saw the process. Jesus is responsible. He's speaking to the Holy Spirit, giving you the wisdom for your life and everything in your life that could possibly have anything to do with it, including your job today, tomorrow, whenever. You know, sometimes you need a specific tool for a specific job. we rode bike Friday night. Took some time just to relax and ride about 12 miles on this one trail we like. I get my thing off and she's holding it there and the kickstand falls off and I go in my toolbox and I don't have the right socket. I probably needed like a 9/16 and I don't know what I had was bigger. I needed the 9/16. The 1 inch or 3/4 wouldn't work. You need a specific tool for a specific time. Sometimes you need specific language to speak out of your spirit to a situation. I'm going to give you an example here. In my job and in my business also, mainly what I do is review commercial appraisal, some residential, but mostly commercial, big stuff. In my job with USDA, there's 5 of us handle 13 states, so we can't possibly go out and appraise. But we review other people's work to make sure it meets standards. And I have this $22 million deal came in the other day, and I just skimmed it. It just didn't set right in here. Just something, it'll be all right, but it just, there's something there, didn't have the detail we need to know what is actually going on. Maybe perfectly right, but show me a little more stuff. So I'm saying, Lord, how do I deal with this? Show me the intricacies of this, what to ask for, how to handle this. It wasn't a day later I started getting things come up. In the nighttime, a lot of times like God deals with me at nighttime, I know how to handle that situation. I'm not bragging about me. In my business side, dealing with a $66.2 million portfolio that was going to be rejected. And it's part of a $4.2 billion deal worldwide. And we had this piece of it, a company I'm with, I mean, I subcontract with, and other places had pieces, which is wise, you know, the banks, and a lot of banks involved, not just one. So, I mean, through wise counsel and the Holy Ghost, He gave us the language, gave me the language, gave us the language to handle this. I mean, I'm thinking, here I am from Bethel. I know how to shovel manure, and I'm working on a $66 million portfolio. This is where God will put you, though. I'm bragging on Him. So I'm saying there's certain language in a situation. Another situation I'm dealing with right now, and I cannot disclose anything, but dealing with, man, Lord, can I do this? And can I go in that direction? Is that what you want? He starts dealing with me about the anointing. And He gave me a specific thing to start speaking, confessing over the situation, and it absolutely like ignited in here. I heard that, and I was listening to somebody on a prayer seminar. I heard that, and it went off in me. I thought, thank you, Lord. He had that guy say that for me. I know, you couldn't beat that out of me. So this is what I want you to experience, and you probably are already, but the specific language you may need to speak in a situation, like Kenneth Copeland one time, Citation 10 jet, $20 million jet. He's leaving a meeting, and the other pilot, the co-pilot, calls and says, hey, I can't get the door open. It's jammed. I can get a little bit open, but I can't. He's in the limo driving there. He says, I'll call you back. And I don't have maybe every detail right on this. It's been a while since I heard it, but I've got the concept. But he just went inside and said, Lord, what do I do here? And he started getting step-by-step words to say. Maybe, I don't know, 9 words. And it actually, the Lord said to him, and this, he never put it together, and I would have never either, all things to work together for good, and commanded the door to open. In other words, all things in that mechanism are to work together. God gave him specific language to speak. The guy called back, and Ken said, the door opened, didn't he? He said, yeah. I mean, they were going to come into a $20 million airplane and drill holes in the door, and said, no, we're not doing that. So this is examples. I'm not bragging on him, bragging on me, anybody, but this is how, and I'm using these big examples of big dollar numbers to trigger thinking that you can operate in bigger realms than you think. So you need to get the solution. You need to get the answer. You're in James 1, right? Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up here then. I was saying, the Holy Ghost will not make a decision for it. We need to ask. Here it says, if any man lack wisdom, James 1, 5. Well, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. But, you know, if you need wisdom, I suggest you ask of God. Don't just sit there and stew in your problem. It says ask. And that gives to all men liberally, or all liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. I can't tell you the amount of times Arlene and I have gone to God with this and getting answers. God is supernatural, obviously, but, you know, it's like, yeah, well, I don't know how to do this. Lord, I need, and in fact, on that issue of the $22 million deal, Lord, I need your wisdom on this. What do I do? And he shows up, and there'll be more tomorrow, because tomorrow I'm writing some of it. He shows up. It says he will give liberally. He's not going to upbraid you saying, well, I know what you did last week. You think I'm going to talk to you? You know, he may correct you, but he's not. He says it shall be given you. It shall be given him. The wisdom will be given. You have to be listening. You have to be listening to what the Holy Ghost is telling you out of that wisdom. So, one thing I've learned, and now I hear my timer. It's 11:30. You hear the seagulls. One thing you have to be listening. You have to be listening to the Holy Ghost, what he's saying. So you, I want to interject this. There's things I've asked about on a particular issue over the years, many years, and I heard some things and I acted on them and that was good. But I'm not there yet as far as what God wants. So I don't press into something that I want to do. I listen to God, and if anything, I just keep doing what I'm doing. Don't change anything. I don't go off the course. So, you know, if there is a silence, you know, understand what that means by the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Does that mean just keep doing what you're doing in your case? Most likely. It doesn't mean, you know, jump ship and go to Africa or something if you don't hear anything. So in James, I think it's 4:7, you just stay where you're at. I'll get back to that. If you're not hearing it, the scripture says, it's 4:2 and 3, James 4:2 and 3. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. It's very likely on this one issue, I'm not asking the right question. Pastor talked about that. Brother Hagin talked about that. You know, and there's Lord, Father, give me wisdom. He said, if I lack wisdom on this, what is the right thing to ask? What is the right way to look at it from your point of view? How do you see this, and what's the right thing to ask about it? I know in my particular case, it's to keep stay the course. But so if you're not asking for the wisdom, you may not be hearing from heaven. Let's look at this, and I've ministered on this patience thing, but I want to just go through this. In verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, testings, trials about what you're going through. You know, count it all joy. Don't just think, oh me, oh my, you know, count it all joy because knowing this, the next verse, that the trying of your faith works something, it works patience. I know this, that the trying of my faith, and remember what I said, patience, which is steadfastness, endurance. It's working it. It's working it. It's like you're working out on muscles. You know, the devil puts pressure on you. You just say, all right, I'm just going to work out on you. I am using my steadfastness, patience, endurance, the trying of my faith. If you're on trial, if your faith is on trial, you know, is it going to pass muster, so to speak? If, you know, it's developing. So knowing this, and then, but verse 4, let patience have our perfect work, the King James says, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The Amplified, which I always get thrilled about, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, that you may be perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Now we can get down to business. You know, this whole message was, as I said, faith begins where the will of God is known. We need to know. I absolutely know he wants me to know the hope of his calling, the Christ in me, the hope of glory, the hope of the manifested presence of God, the glory of God, the goodness of God. I know he wants me to know the glory of his inheritance in me as a body, member of the body of Christ. I know he wants me to know his resurrection power and walk in it. So now I can get down to business, operate in faith. I know the will of God. I know these things. I know he wants me perfected, it says here, matured. I know he wants me entire, it says here, lacking nothing, no defects. I know that. You know, I have a, it talks about one of the works of Christ, the maim or heal. I have a cousin who lost an eye. He has a glass eye in an accident, and that's always been on my heart. Before we're out of here, he's gonna get a hold of us. That's a working miracle. That's a recovering a sight of the blind. But I mean, this is amazing. He wants him with no defects. So could I pray for him? Well, man, I don't know. Does God want to do that? Yeah, I can pray for him. I know. I have faith that God will want to do that. He wants us to lack nothing. He wants us in our place, in our grace, so we have no wants, no unmet needs. So like I said, if we need something in the church here that costs $10,000, maybe we'll be fussing with each other over who can pay it all, you know, and we'll just raise more. You know, we'll have to tell you, stop giving. We won't do that because we can always do more. So I know walking and ministry in the anointing of Jesus is God's will for you, for me, all of us. I know walking, ministering in the glory, the manifested presence of God, goodness of God, power of God is God's will for me, for you. You say, well, I'm not a minister. Well, we talked about that. You can add your faith to people that are in need. There's a lot of people out there in need that you could just pray for. I think a lot of people, if you walk up and you see they're in distress and you say, could I pray for you? A lot of people are going to say, yeah. Yeah, they'll take any help they can get. I know that knowing him and the power of his resurrection is his will. So faith begins with the will of God is known. We've heard from heaven. We know what we can do, and we can get down to business by faith. Another thing that if you're not hearing, if it's just like thud, you're asking for wisdom and you seem like you're not hearing, well, spend more time meditating the Word of God. But also James 1:6, faith is our life, folks. James 1:6, but let him, you know, you're asking for wisdom. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like the wave of the sea. I have my timer on here with the seagulls singing, wave of the sea, with the wind and driven with the wind and tossed. You know, that's like if you ask for wisdom, okay, God, I'm going to hear from you how do I fix this car tomorrow, Mike Loser? Well, how do I do this on the job? This thing just doesn't seem to work. The factory reps say this, the computer says this, but I know that doesn't seem to work. But what is the wisdom? You're the best mechanic there is. Acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths, Proverbs 3 says. Ask in faith. Now then, if Mike would get halfway through this and see, yeah, oh, that'll work, and start working on it, I said, well, no, he wouldn't do that for me. You know, you're not asking in faith. Sure he would. You've got to realize, yeah, I'm hearing from heaven. I've got it. Then not waver. Now, so let him ask in faith. I'm just going to take another minute here. That brings us to Mark 11:22. I mentioned last week, what about the Supreme Court decision? Well, have faith in God. Have faith in God. When you ask, he's going to answer you. He's going to give you the wisdom. And have faith that you can hear it. You know, that if you're blasting the boom boxes and rock and roll for 24 hours a day, maybe you won't hear it. Not maybe. So have faith in God. I receive that command, sir. I have faith in you. And that is a reassuring thing. So then Mark 11:23 has to do with your words. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. What's the mountain in Mike's example there with his car? How do I get over this mountain? The text says this doesn't work. The computer says this doesn't work. What's your wisdom, God? How do I get over this mountain? And like with Kenneth Copeland, he gave him specific words to speak to that door. He may give you specific words to speak in a situation or just a knowing. Maybe you don't have to speak in the situation. Most times you do, whether you know it or not. There's a situation I'm talking about that I just said about in my life. He gave me this language. I need to speak into it because a decision is going to be made that's going to affect people. And what I'm speaking is going to definitely put God's input into it. So can I affect things? Yeah. Can you affect things? Yeah, if you hear from heaven. And when you pray, believe, receive it, and you shall have it. So I believe you've got some things you can get to work by faith on hearing from heaven. Meditate, the Word of God helps. Get quiet, listen. Although, you know, you have to learn how to be able to hear from God in noise and situations. You have to be able to know how to hear from God in turmoil. But when you're at home, you don't have to have the TV and the radio on and everything. You can be quiet, listen to worship, meditate the Word. And I just love it because God is so for real and will take things and give you images of things and show you things to come. He'll show you the future. He said it. We have no excuse. So, you know, we need to be getting better results, all of us. And we can. Why do you think he has me giving this message? He's about to move us to a new level. That just came up out of my spirit. He is doing it. Father, we thank you for this. Oh, you're so good. We just thank you. You're so, so magnificent. We thank you that we will act on this. We're taking this word, we're sealing it in our heart, sealing it in our heart. And devil, you'll not bring affliction, persecution, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. And maybe you'll bring them, but we're not taking them. We bind you in the name of Jesus. So Father, thank you for the wisdom, your wisdom flowing. You need us and we need you, but you do need us in this earth. So we take our place. We take it seriously, but like you told me, have fun with this. And we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.